latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everyone. I am Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World, Down to Earth, Spotlight on the Southwest. And I would like to start out by thanking you for being a part of Mrs. Green's World and listening to these great podcasts we bring to you with these great guests each and every week. And I'd also like to thank the sponsor for this show and a great Mrs. Green's World partner, Tucson Medical Center. For 70 years, members of our community have counted on TMC to be here for us when we are at our most vulnerable. They've been entrusted with this legacy, and they continue the tradition of improving the health and well-being of the people of Southern Arizona in almost every possible way that I can think of when it comes to taking care of us and our community. So what we're going to talk about today, to me, is yet another example of their commitment to our community as pretty much the ultimate community partner. And I don't say that lightly. When you live in this town and you look at events, TMC is a sponsor of a significant amount of them, and we're going to learn about that. So joining me in studio is Julia Strange, Vice President of Community Benefit, and Mary Atkinson, Director of Wellness. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You know, this is one of those times where I wish we had the off-air conversation recorded as well, because we have fun and we talk about all kinds of things, including what's going to be discussed on the show. So in planning for this show, our team talked about our partnership with you and, more importantly, how we all see and participate in quite a few of the numerous community events that are, for the most part, made possible because of support from TMC. I mean, there's more of us now, and some of, you know, our team has young children, and I'm out in the community, I'm a gadabout, basically. So that's kind of was the genesis of this. And we talked about, we're a big thing in Mrs. Green's World about intention and corporate culture. So that's what I'd like to delve into a little bit more about, the corporate culture that makes this work possible. You're not just a hospital by any stretch of the imagination. It's like hospitals don't do all the stuff you're doing. So talk about the corporate culture and give us a little bit of an insight of where the place from which all of that largesse comes.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a few months ago, I was actually reading this very extensive history of TMC, and there was a portion of that report that talked about when TMC was founded, Tucson Medical Center was founded, and there was a very intentional act at that time by the founders, who were community leaders of the time, and they very intentionally called it Tucson Medical Center instead of Tucson Hospital or Catalina Hospital, because they very, even back in 1943, recognized and understood that the role of this entity, if it was going to impact community health, was bigger and more than just being a hospital. And that tradition carried through Don Shropshire and his commitment and investment to the community and to education, and carries through today. And so a number of years ago, our staff and our doctors and the community came together and they wrote our values and said, what are our values? And one of them that they identified is community as a founding value. And so that is entrenched in our culture. When you talk to our staff about why they're proud to work at TMC, they talk about community.
And what a smile it brings to our face to talk about Don Shropshire. Did anybody ever not like that man? I don't think so. He, first of all, forever, he called me young lady. So I used to hug him and say, Don, keep that coming. Just keep that coming. He remembered everybody. I never saw him without his bow tie. I mean, he was just like a pillar of the community for so long, setting an example of kindness and community giving back and all that. So that's pretty interesting. And yeah, everybody knew him. So is there a mission and a vision that ties in with this that goes and takes it a little bit farther?
Well, you know, it's interesting that our staff wrote our values, our staff and our community wrote our values about 7 or 8 years ago. And we didn't really do much with our mission or our vision for about, since the last time we wrote it was in 2004. And we felt like it was time for a refresh. And so we did what makes sense, which is we went back to our staff, we went back to our community, we went back to our providers and said, what should the mission of our organization be? And we wrote, everybody put their words on Post-its and we processed that.
That whole process.
And we wrote a really long mission and that said everything. And we ended up with a mission that was much simpler. And I think it encompasses what we do. And so the mission that our staff wrote was that our mission is to provide exceptional health care with compassion.
You're kidding me. That's the goosebump kind of mission statement, because
right.
It says it all.
So if you use that as a directional, and again, it was written by our staff. It wasn't written by a consultant
that came in and crafted the words for you.
Right. And so, and then our staff also wrote a vision. What do they envision for our organization? And we really wanted it to be aspirational. We didn't want to say, we wanted to aspire to be better than we are. And so we articulated that by saying, we aspire to serve our community by being the best health system as measured by the quality of care we deliver, the experiences we create, and the value that we bring.
And think about that. Like what jumped out for me is health system, which is part of what I see is the real integrated approach that you take for health and wellness in this community. It's not just a hospital. It doesn't say that. It's just, it's different. What about, how would you explain the difference between a hospital and a community hospital or a community health center? I think there's a vast difference, and I'm not sure if I can articulate it, but I know it.
Right. You know, there's a lot of different definitions and words that that are thrown around when you talk about healthcare. When we talk about system, we recognize that as a local entity, we're not going to necessarily own all of the components like a Kaiser might.
But, right.
So what we had to do is develop partnerships with those key community entities who can help us improve the overall community health. Because while our goal is to address each individual's healthcare needs, an equally important part of our mission is to improve the overall health of our community, and so that we can thrive and be productive as a broader region. And we can do that through a multi-tiered system. And so I think being a community hospital means that you're making decisions and you're making investments because it's addressing a community need rather than a more regional or a more global kind of fiscal strategy.
And that's where it all starts. Building strong communities is the key ingredient for sustainability.
Right.
I mean, it really is. It starts there. Mary?
Well, and Julia has mentioned, and you both mentioned, about that we've used the word compassion and kindness, and then it's a broader perspective. And I think another perspective that we have is that it's not just about caring for you when you're sick, but creating that opportunity to stay well, not just on a personal level, but as a whole entire community. We want to improve the health of everybody and not, you know, our mental health, our spiritual health, our physical health, and looking at the whole person, not just you've come to us when you're sick.
And it works. Taking a holistic approach is what keeps people healthy, things like prevention and exercise and all those things. So in my notes, I have a statement about the overview of TMC True Norths. And so I don't know where that came from, but I'm sure you're going to tell me. I am a Martha Beck nut, and she wrote a book called True North. So can one of you speak to that?
So we have, we've picked four True Norths to really help us with our direction, with our goals, and where we want to go as an entity. And those are quality and safety, because when you're with us, we want to be sure that we are providing the best care, highest quality, that we're keeping everybody in our care safe, P people is another one. Our people that work for us create a community, but also the people that come to us are part of our community. Our patient experience. So we used to term that patient satisfaction, but now it's a bigger picture. You have an experience when you come to the hospital, and we want to make sure that's the best. And it's beyond just taking care of your body and your illness. And then stewardship, that we are being financially responsible with all of our resources.
Which really matters too, because if you're not, then you go away. It's right. Like, yeah, that's a really big pillar to have. Mm-hmm. But it's just, and you know, I have learned so much about, like, in depth about what goes on at TMC and the community because of the interviews. And we had Jeanette Marais and Laura here, kind colleagues. Mm-hmm. So here's how that ripple effect works. So I learned all about it, incredibly impressed. And you know, when you talk to Jeanette, it is not woo-woo. It's polar to woo-woo. Mm-hmm. It's science-based. It's data-driven. It's results-driven. And for a hospital, for a community health center, she's talked about the importance of kindness starting with yourself mm-hmm. and each other. I mean, that whole integrated thought. So one of my other clients just met with her yesterday, and they're going to use the Kindness Colleagues program. Because I waxed poetic about it. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, it's a huge car dealership. I shouldn't say who it is yet. But for a car dealership to be hiring Ben's Bells to do Kind Colleagues for 7 dealerships, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's really the ripple effect. And Jeanette is thrilled, and I'm thrilled. And they were looking for something. And what really mattered to them was the scientific, data-driven. I mean, you've heard Jeanette present. She had it all. And that's a TMC fits in with all that you're doing mm-hmm. of taking care of each other inside and then making sure that there's better care or, you know, quality care for the people that come through the door. Okay. So what does it mean a little bit? Like, you, everything you do flows from a commitment to promote health and wellness from our community. When you say what it means to be a community partner, can we just, I'm overusing this expression, but I happen to like it. Can we get down in the weeds a little bit about that? I like that expression. I like, too, now. It's like, it's a thing, because Meredith on our team uses it, and I understand what it means. But that's really important, who you pick to partner with, how you decide to partner with them. And, of course, one of the greatest examples is Health on Broadway. Mm-hmm. That is a strategic partnership that's a model for the country. So what's with this thread that we're weaving about intention and true north? How do you decide and go forth with a myriad of choices, but to not just, you know, to vet it mm-hmm. and to ensure impact?
Well, I think when we're looking at our partnerships and how we are endeavoring to build system, through those collaborations, is the first is to always be true to your mission and to your values, and make sure that the partners that you're selecting are also aligned with that mission and that vision and those values. And in Tucson, we're fortunate because there's a lot of options. We find great partners in El Rio and Health on Broadway. We find amazing partnership with Kodak Behavioral Health and work that we do with them to provide essential services to those individuals who have been experienced sexual assault, to those individuals who have delivered babies who are born dependent on substances. And so we've worked with Kodak on those kinds of programs, and we have revolutionized how we treat and care for those different vulnerable populations. We work with Pima County. They're amazing leaders in terms of identifying those critical needs. With many of our, the Tohono O'odham and many others, we work with our rural partners. And so I think as long as you, one, understand your patients and your consumers, what they need and what they're looking for, and two, understand your mission and your values, it's pretty, to find the right partnerships becomes clear.
And as part of that, which I think the answer is yes, but it's so much smarter to partner with people who have their specialties than of you trying to start a program or create something new. Right. And why don't we do this? Why don't we have a sexual offender, a sexual abuse program? You go to the experts, right, which really maximizes the benefit to the recipient.
Again, I think it's to identify those critical community needs and then to use those community resources wisely so that you can really address those critical health needs of the community.
And it's just having the right people, experts. And I didn't know about your partnership with Kodak, which surprises me because I was in mental health. But that's one of the toughest areas. And how those victims or survivors are treated is everything in terms of the trauma and the recovery and all of that. Right. So, and they know what they're doing. So it's unbelievable. So let's talk a little bit about impact. Mm-hmm. Because you're not doing all these things to be just, you know, oh, we're just so good and look at our names on everything. Pretty much what you do is tied to your mission and to the health of the community and to measuring impact. So talk to us about that and how critical a piece that is. And how do you measure it? Is there a way to measure it?
Well, on a very macro level, you measure it by the vitality of our community. We are fortunate that we have a very collaborative community. And so when we approach our community health needs assessment, it's not just Tucson Medical Center doing that with the county. It's all of the local hospitals. We have a very community-minded group of hospitals in this community. And so we're fortunate that our partners and our colleagues in other health systems are also committed to improving the health of the community. So I think if you look at the vitality of the economic development in our community, the growth of our community, that's an indicator of health and productivity. And that's what we're really going for. We identify those key areas of focus and where we want to shine the light on what we want to work on and invest in. And so, you know, when we did our first community health needs assessment 6 to 8 years ago, it was really clear that physical activity and nutrition were really necessary to help us combat diabetes and cardiac disease and those sorts of things. And so we systematically invested in programs like Meet Me at Maynard's, like the Southern Arizona Roadrunner Series and the Gabe Zimmerman Triple Crown, Everyone Runs, Perimeter Bicycle. We invest in those not for the marketing value, although that's certainly there, but more to expand the availability of opportunities to pursue healthy activities in our community. We built a wellness department all around that so that we could impact that. We opened the core. All of that comes together to make a difference, and you quantify each one in different ways. And so that was a focus from that we began 10 or 12 years ago, and we've seen impact. We've made progress, and we now benchmark very well against national standards. We have, in the last community health needs assessment from 2015, we really focused on the opioid epidemic and substance abuse disorder and how we can make an impact on that. And we've been systematically making progress. Have we seen the numbers come down? I think we're still seeing a rise, but we're making a difference by working with our community partners, with our policymakers at a local, state, and federal level to impact that. So impact is measurable at a very micro level when you look at specific numbers, but it's really at a very macro level. It is, how is the community growing? How is the community thriving? And how can we continue to address gaps to elevate it?
So a poster child for that, I just have to tell you this. So Monday night, and we've had Janie on the show. I mean, to me, Meet Me at Maynard's is a phenomenon. She said on the show, it could not be possible without TMC. And why? Because it's grown. So people can listen to that podcast. So Monday night was the 9th anniversary.
Absolutely. It was wonderful.
It was crazy. It was crazy fun.
Was.
And there is a question at the end of this short raving. But my daughter and I went. We did the whole path. Mm-hmm. And for people that might not know about it, it's a walk. They meet at Maynard's Market every Monday night, and there are hundreds of people that show up, and kids and pets and fun. So we went, and they told us to, Janny said, bring dollar bills, because there's all these bands going. There were probably 15 bands. Mm-hmm. So my daughter and I, she loves music, we stopped at them. And then we came back to Maynard's. They had it at the Hotel Congress because it was so many people. It couldn't be back there. And it was, there's something that, the question is, how do you measure how much fun that was? And I really mean that. People were my age and older, dancing like fools. I was one of them. The music was great. The kids were running around in a safe environment. And there's something about your health that matters being happy. Does that make sense, Mary?
It's absolutely.
Like, it just does.
We know that happiness is tied to our health. There's plenty of research out there around it. So how you measure the impact of Meet Me at Maynard's, it's had on our community.
Like the joy factor.
Right.
But we had a blast.
You think about it, you went once, you're more inclined to go again, or you're more inclined to try some other community-based activities, like maybe it's Meet Me Downtown next, or so. I don't know how exactly we measure that other than
really
number
matters.
Of attendance,
yeah,
but
yeah.
If it can spark somebody's interest and get them motivated to try other healthy behaviors, whether it's activity or whether, you know, it's healthy cooking classes or, you know, making healthy choices around spending time with, you know, friends and family and getting that social support, that's what we would be looking for.
So let's talk about one of your passions, Girls on the Run. It's another example where it's so good for girls. I'm thrilled that it's girls. Encourage them to be in sports. Let me just say that. And Kelly King, our show producer, her daughter Sophia is on it. Kelly's invited a bunch of people to come to the event on Saturday. Tell us about, I mean, it builds community, it's fun, it's healthy, it gets kids physically active and not in front of, you know, a gizmo. So why is it such a passion for you other than that you're training for a marathon, says she in a derogatory tone. I'm so jealous.
Well, it's actually, Julia is the one that brought it to us, so we have to say thank you to Julia.
Thank you, Julia.
For bringing this concept, but it's such a... It's such an inspiring program, not only for the girls, but for the coaches and the adult supporters of the program to see the progress that these girls make. And it's not about running. I mean, there's running involved, but it's really
right.
about creating these girls that are more self-confident, that are better able to communicate their feelings and understand their feelings and be part of their community and know what that means to be a team player with their friends, but also with their folks that they don't like so much. And how do we be better individuals in that sense? How do we contribute back to our community? Like Kelly's daughter, you know, had a community project. So we're starting to teach them that they're not just in their mm-hmm. own little world, that they belong to a bigger piece, and how they can impact that and how their attitude and everything that they do impacts that, and how by working over a period of time they can accomplish anything. Because ultimately, for the health of our community, we want all these girls to stay in school and graduate right. from high school. So,
and I would share a story that the year that I coached in a pretty underserved school, and there was a young girl who started out the season, and she was very soft spoken. Very not confident in herself, and pretty self-deprecating in terms of how she spoke about herself. And I saw some interactions with her family that were equally sort of challenging. And through the course of the season, she became empowered, and she ended up, we don't really have winners, but she finished the race first, and was very proud of that. And her mother, who had not been a great cheerleader of the program, I think she just thought it was a good place to have her child go for a few hours when she after school. But her mother became very very supportive and engaged, to the point that she actually ran the race the following season. And the girl later became, we found out, went to high school at one of our local magnet high schools. And now, not that she wouldn't have done that anyway, but she came forward with a confidence and a vision for herself that translated into her future that I think is more positive because of it. It's not about, it's not really about finishing the 5K. It's about having the confidence to be a strong young woman, a strong woman, and that's what this program's about.
And that's just one of so many stories. Right. I still see one of my girls running every weekend with her dad. So it, and she came from, she was quiet and bullied in a previous school, and she just transformed. So it's pretty amazing.
And Tim was talking about, Tim Bentley from your team, was talking about, he was getting text. I so people know, I saw him in Washington, D.C., and he was running a marathon. He was there for a fitness conference, I think. I mean, like, he needs a fitness conference. But anyway, he was getting a text from one of the kids that he mentored that is now grown up, that's going to be competing in a marathon, and he was really whipping Tim's time. That Tim said, you know, I coach this kid. But those are the kind of relationships. And mm-hmm. and I guess what I was getting at, those things sometimes are immeasurable. You right. can't even catch the impact from the developmental assets that you're providing to kids that will change the trajectory of their life. And that's another science-driven, factual, you can measure that science, mm-hmm. that it can happen.
Well, I mean, we clearly know, and Mary can talk to this in more depth, but the evidence is clear that your genetics make up, are only a very small determinant of your lifelong health. It's a maybe 10%. Things like housing, things like poverty, things like, you know, nutrition and where you live in terms of, if are you in a food desert? Those kinds of, what they call them, the social determinants of health, are much more impactful long-term in terms of how you're going to be, how you're going to thrive throughout your life. Mary, do you want to speak to a little bit about that?
Right. So that's a good lead-in. So we're now looking at the, you know, an individual's health, that we know that their zip code is more, a higher determining factor than their genetic code, by far. You can look at zip codes, and somebody that lives, two people that live 6 miles apart from each other, if they happen to live in an underserved zip code that's unsafe, that doesn't have access to food or safe places to exercise, that they might have a lifespan that is decreased by 10 years, just in a 6 mile difference, everything else being equal between these two individuals, but just where they live. And so that's what we need to be thinking of, is when, if we're talking about preventative health care, it's not just about teaching them to be active or teaching them how to eat a healthy diet. Well, they can't eat a healthy diet if they don't have access to food, or they can't be taking care of themselves if they're a diabetic, if they don't have a place to store their medical supplies. So it's like Julie said, it's really about where we live and our community that can really drive our health.
And Kelly always reminds me on the production notes that she does to try to weave into the conversation, our entire message, intention, focus is to address climate change or global warming. And how does this fit in? Well, we know how it fits in, because marginalized communities, you cannot have a sustainable planet without having a socially just planet. And that's what I think is a piece that TMC contributes to greatly. The social justice piece of access to food, the whole food desert thing. So when people say to me, well, what does that have to do with, you know, Mother Earth? It's like everything, because it's not a level playing field. Mm-hmm. So I had other questions. Once again, we have run out of time. It's unreal to me. So the question I had, which you can't answer, but you'll come back, is how do you pick who gets to make the cut at TMC? And maybe that's one, it's good to just leave us hanging, because you're very careful and skillful about deciding, and it really does measure impact. So kudos to you. Maybe I'll just end on that note. And then we have some interesting shows coming up, everybody. April 24th, Jamie Beck Alexander and her father, Glenn Beck, not the Glenn Beck, the conservative naturalist and the environmental hypocrite. And then we have a best of show, Skilled Labor Force and Sustainable Communities about JTED. It's a great show. Thank you both for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
And they can find all your connections on our website.